He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests. The
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on this Friday. Happy Friday, everyone who is here, who is listening, however you're listening, on this wonderful afternoon. Good to have you alongside for another 2 hours of radio here behind the bench for you here on 1430 ESPN. Good to be here. Good to be live on the ESPN app, on the 1430 ESPNFresno.com website. All of it for your listening and potentially viewing pleasure as well. We will get that stream rolling for you here in a moment. But we got everything going on here for you on this wonderful Friday. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D, of course, the one who always hosts the Central Valley, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here. Tony D, big thanks for him for tossing it to us here in this hour. You can listen to him live and on demand on the 1430 app and the 1430ESPN.com website. You can also check out my show on demand and on the 1430 ESPN app or on the website as well from 3 to 6 p.m. on the weekdays as well. And you also can check out Paul Mender's show, the Central Valley Sports Report, which is coming up tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon. Good little warm-up, I would say. Good show for you. Good show for you to listen to as you probably get prepped to watch Fresno State football play at 12:30 tomorrow. So why not listen to Paul Mender's show? He'll get you all set and ready for that one. Plus many other high school conversation, high school football, sports, stuff to talk about as well. He'll have it all in his show. 304 on the dot. Good to be here. Good to be alongside some great folks as well. We'll talk about what we got coming up on the show today. But first, let's get into some sponsors, including our hotline sponsor. It's Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating. Lee's Air sponsoring our hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Once again, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. You can also check out Lee's Air with their weather check, which I'm checking in right now today. And yes, we are starting that descent into some more manageable temperatures for the foreseeable future. How about a high of 95 today? 93 degrees, high of 95. It is a great night for high school football here in the Central Valley. Can't wait to bring that to you, including in our broadcast tonight, which, by the way, has changed. We originally had it at 7 p.m. pregame. It is a 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff at Clovis West, although that'll be at Veterans Stadium. So Clovis West playing at Veterans Stadium tonight, hosting Edison of Stockton. So should be a pretty good reasonable temperature night tonight. Also, we have our great sponsors here at the top. Grocery Outlet, by the way, Grocery Outlet, a tailgate ready contest for you to get into as well. Grocery Outlet is a place to go to for you to enter in to win some football tickets. Still some time to get into this week's drawing coming up, which is our drawing for the Southern game coming up next Saturday. So if you want a chance to win 2 tickets and $100 towards your tailgate, be sure to go visit your grocery outlets at Northwest location, downtown location, southeast location near Sunnyside, and then also your Kerman and your Sanger locations. Those are the places to go if you want to enter into our contest and be tailgate ready this fall for the Bulldogs. So good to have you here. Good to be alongside everyone here. Got a great show for you. Great show promised. Great show to get into. Talking a lot of football. Honestly, we're going to talk predominantly football today in terms of it. We got the high school level to get into. We've got the pro level to get into. We'll have a Bonatti Blitz today. We'll have some daily spread talking about Mountain West teams today, including we'll do our prediction of the Fresno State game tomorrow. Paul Vedder is going to join me. We're going to preview a lot on Friday night's slate as well. We'll do a closer little deep dive into the Raiders. That game's changing its tenor as seems like the Patriots are dealing with some injuries. So wonder if that will matter for this game coming up on Sunday for the Raiders. And then we'll say goodbye and be off until next Monday when we have our first major wager Monday night of the year. And we want to see you there. Can't wait to see you there. And I'm looking forward to it. So that's what we got on the docket for you today. So what are we going to talk about? Like I said, we're going to start right here with the high school football. But before we get into that, before we dive into that, seems like we got our folks still busy back there behind the glass. So I'm just going to wait until I can go to them. So thumbs up, thumbs down. We'll wait. Thumbs down from Jorge. We got Jorge and Chloe in, but we're still working on some stuff back there. So why don't I lead off the show with talking about some of the high school scores from last night and giving a little update on some of them. We had 13 games in the central section, so some games to get into. Layton beating Coastal Union. It's Buchanan last night in a somewhat of a shootout, I would say, although I think Edison put up some points late. I don't have the complete box score in front of me, but I think I saw it was something 28-0 at half. But the Edison Tigers getting up to 30 points last night against Buchanan. Valiant effort. The Bears, though, 48-30 win over Edison. So Buchanan moves to 2-1 on the year after opening the season with a loss at Bakersfield. They go beat Kennedy. They beat Edison. How about a big game next week now for Buchanan after they win last night? Get a little bit of an extra rest period as well, I would say. Actually, they will play next Thursday, and they're going to host Liberty of Bakersfield. So big matchup for them. Liberty's been struggling a little bit in terms of their play. So curious to see what Buchanan do. 3-1 for Buchanan to start the year. That'd be pretty sweet for the Bear fans out there. Bullard, big win over Hoover in the battle of Barstow is what they call it. 2-1 record for Bullard last night, 56-0 over their rivals Hoover across the street. Now Bullard's got 8 days till then until they face Bakersfield High. And guess what? We get Bullard and Bakersfield High next week on our airwaves. So I think Bullard's figuring it out on offense, and certainly 56 points. Much better output than what they had against Mayfair, 15 points last week, 7 points against Clovis East. So the trajectory up for the Bullard Knights right now when they go up against Bakersfield next week. Speaking of Bakersfield, why don't I give their score next? They beat Stockdale pretty handily, 50-14. So Bakersfield, the Drillers, 3-0 on the year. And like I said, they're going to be going up against Bullard next week. Bakersfield, reminder, beat Buchanan. That's kind of their big win so far this year. They got Bullard, and then they got Dorsey, and then they face all of the Bakersfield teams in their area, including Bakersfield Christian, Ridgeview, Independence, and Highland. Those are the teams in their region. So, other scores last night. Kennedy beating Highland, so Kennedy bouncing back. They're now 2-1 on the year. They do beat that Highland team that I mentioned earlier, 41-7 last night. You've got Tehachapi, a 49-7 winner over Taft. How about Sunnyside getting, to my understanding, I think that's Sunnyside's first win of the year. They get a win over Ridgeview, 22-14. So after a tough couple of weeks for the Sunnyside crew, the Wildcats, they get a win. And then they got a big matchup, league matchup against McLean in 2 weeks. So McLean's playing really good football as well. That program is going well. They're on the bye this week, or last week. They are back in action tonight as they have Mendota. So funny enough, no games between now and then for Sunnyside. McLean's got two. So that's pretty crazy little schedule quirk there. St. Joe's, a winner over Hanford. So Hanford, tough night for them last night. Couldn't really get anything going offensively against St. Joseph. St. Joseph, a 31-6 winner on the road over Hanford. So Hanford drops to 1-2 after a big win over Sanger. So that'll be interesting to see where they bounce back. St. Joe's has been an interesting team. 2-1 on the year. Like I said, they lost to Tulare Union at home So maybe Union's a little bit better than we thought in terms of that. Of course, St. Joe's beating Edison and Hanford these last 2 weeks. So St. Joe's going to be getting East Lake and then Centennial and then Shafter before they head into their league play opportunity as well. Lemoore, a winner, 42-6 over El Diamante as well. So Lemoore bounces back. They beat El Diamante for their first win of the season after their loss to Washington Union. So Lemoore on the win column, and they'll have a tough test next week as they go face Sanger. They're going to be in home against Sanger, and then they got Clovis East following that. So Lemoore, and then they got Union. I'm just now looking at this Lemoore schedule. Wow, it gets crazy tough the next few weeks for them. So Sanger, Clovis East, Tulare Union next up for the Lemoore Tigers. So how about that, getting a win in their win column? Definitely needed that for them to get rolling there. So those are some of the scores. We had North over Delano. We had South over Golden Valley, 21-17. Fraser Mountain over Valley Oaks, CES, 41-6. So those, and how about Alpa over East Valley, 30-6 last night. So there is your roundup for your scores in high school central section. And hopefully everyone is on their way and ready to go in terms of great opportunity for another awesome week of football. We can't wait to bring it to you on the high school side of things, and we can't wait to talk about it all tonight as well on our airwaves, starting 6:30 tonight for the pregame of Clovis West and Edison. So we are here. We are live and talking sports, and last night was kind of crazy, and we'll start with that. I'm sure a lot of people were ready and locked in to watch some NFL football last night, and that was pretty insane in terms of the action we saw, including Dallas and Philadelphia. And I think a lot of people, and myself included, thought it wouldn't be as close of a game as it was. And the game had everything. We had fights. We had spits. We had rain. We had lightning. A wild one last night in Philadelphia. But the Cowboys coming up short, losing to the Eagles. And so I'm wondering where our thoughts are on both of those teams, and I'm curious of what people's thoughts were in last night's game, because that was interesting. I think the number one question on everybody's mind is, who is at fault for is there any fault for Dak Prescott in terms of that whole Spitgate situation? I had my thoughts, and I saw some discourse around it last night in the Twitterverse, whateververse, internetverse, in terms of people trying to point out that he may have started it. Frankly, I think that's a lost argument in terms of you just don't spit on anybody. And I think Jalen Carter is going to be in some trouble here moving forward. But last night, delivered. It delivered in every bit of it in terms of the drama, in terms of everything. And we got another game of football tonight, I'm sure, that we'll be trying to pay attention to, which, by the way, live on YouTube. I don't explain how that's going to work. I don't know. It's what the NFL is deciding to do. It's allegedly free for people to watch between the Chargers and the Chiefs. So should be an interesting matchup tonight. How are we doing over there behind the glass? I've been vamping enough for y'all. are we doing all right, Jorge?
No, somebody messed with my buttons and levers and stuff.
Wow, who could that have been?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I got to fix some stuff.
Okay.
I'm on if you.
Yeah.
We're live, just can't hear anything.
You can't hear me.
Oh, I could hear you. I could hear you fine. They can't hear you.
They can't hear me. No. Okay.
Unless I turn my mic off.
So I'm just getting okay, sounds good. All right, so we're figuring that out. So anyways, last night's game, pretty insane. What was the story of the night last night? Was it the Cowboys playing close, or was it Spitgate, or was it Fightgate, or was it anything in terms of Dak's performance? What was the story last night as you were watching that football game? First of all, how did you consume that football game last night, Jorge? Were you watching tooth and nail?
Nah, I wasn't watching it at all. Like,
not watching it.
No, I saw it.
Yeah.
But I went and did.
Did the lightning delay kill your vibe?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I cook some food up, and now like a halftime, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm sitting there watching nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's a producer's worst nightmare was the lightning delay, right?
Yeah, I had to check the station, make sure.
Our station?
Yeah.
The
weather delay just destroyed our commercials.
Oh yeah, everything like that. Yeah.
It wasn't too bad though.
Okay. But last night, otherwise in that game, did the Cowboys surprise you in any way last night?
Cowboys good? Question mark. I don't know. I knew it was gonna be a close game. I told you it was. I saw it as a one digit, like, you know. But anyways, the thing is, I think what was I was impressed more is that the Philly wasn't looking good.
Philly looked obnoxious. Philly was obnoxious last night, I thought.
I feel like they had too many things going on.
Yeah.
Like they felt like they were, like, being disrespected, but at the same time, they were disrespecting. They were being disrespectful, and it was just weird.
I consumed it as Philadelphia was very being like a very obnoxious, like, we're better than anybody kind of team. And that's fine. You can go into a game like that, especially against your rival, and feel that way. But, like, frankly, last night there was a few situations where I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't understand that mentality, including I roasted them a little bit. I roasted them in terms of, you know, them not being on the field when they want to watch their banner. Like, what is the point of being in the NFL if you can't celebrate your victories? And what is the point of being in the NFL if you can't celebrate the one singular goal you're in the NFL to do, which is win a title? And the Eagles are saying, no, we're too good for that. That's obnoxious to me. And then first play of the game, we have their star player spitting on the quarterback of the other team. And I get it. People saw the angle and said Dak Prescott spit first, but Dak Prescott just spit like 3 feet in front of him. That's no big deal. People spit on the field. But you don't spit on the guy in retaliation. And I don't think there's any fault of Dak in that entire situation. You're John. That's fine. It can get that level. But Jalen Carter should never, never put himself in that situation. And frankly, the Eagles are in a real bad spot from that point on in the game because Javonte Williams was doing things in the middle of the field. Dak was able to have a little bit of time. He was able to step in the pocket. CeeDee Lamb had a monster game last night.
Yeah, 4 drops.
Yeah, that too. But let's be honest, it shouldn't have been that close if Jalen Carter was at the game. And he cost his team, almost cost his team.
Yeah, it felt like a preseason game that the starters were playing in.
It felt real last night. I didn't think it was sloppy football last night.
It was sloppy football. No. It was good football, but it just didn't feel like, you know, maybe because it was a
you're just
Thursday
not there yet. You're just not there. You haven't done your first Sunday. You haven't done your first Sunday yet. You're just not there yet.
Yeah.
Chloe, you consumed a little bit of the game last night. What was your experience from the internet and from what you've seen? Is there any thoughts? Is Spitgate really like a big deal, or is that something I'm overblowing a little bit? Oh, we need our mic gun. Get here. Getting it there. Hold on. See, this is what happens when people touch Jorge's buttons. This is what happens. All right. We'll go to Chloe here in a second. Promise I feel like Chloe has some good thoughts here. But anyways, do we have her yet? Nope, we're not there yet. All right. We're getting it worked out. Chloe, maybe we'll go to you in the next segment. All right? We'll go to the end of the next segment here. But I got to get to something for the rest of the folks here that are listening, and we go to a commercial break here. And
oh, you're better now.
Well, too late. Too late. We're going to go to DraftKings. And speaking of DraftKings, it's week one, folks. We already had one game. We have another tonight, and we have plenty on Sunday and Monday. And it is your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash back with DraftKings Pick 6, the official partner of the NFL. Here's how. You download DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. You enter for free and pick more or less on 6-player stats for week one. I'm hitting that McCaffrey under. Let me tell you about that injury. Share your link with friends, add more cash to the bag, and get bonus shots to win. Hit all 6 picks and you'll be splitting a bag that's already $1 million or more. I think it's up to $1.6 last I checked. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost. Huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry and bag builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos. Welcome back to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Man, that was a jam when I was in Fresno State doing that in the band there. I remember that part. I don't know if I could do it anymore on the trombone, but it was a good one. All right. We got Chloe back. Can I finally give the opinion? No, we lost Chloe again. All right. We're figuring it out now. Let's see if we can get it here. Nope. All right. Well, we got the Benatti Blitz coming up, and this is a segment I always look forward to. So this is what we're going to do now. We're going to pick all the games of the Week 1 slate. But first, Jorge, make sure we get that. Well, you're doing a million things. I want to make sure I can get the song out of here before I start playing our music here. In terms of that, there we go. All right, so Week 1. NFL slate. We did the ranking of the Week 1 games last on Tuesday. So this is how we do it every week for the NFL season. We do a Week 1 each week, Tuesday. We rank the games of the slate, and then on Friday, we pick the games of the slate. Of course, things change in terms of the weekly schedule. I picked Thursday individually, which I did last night. I picked Philly. I did pick Philly to cover. Philly did not cover, so do I count that? I don't think so. But at least in the straight-up part of it, I'm 1-0. So that's where I'm at. So when we dive into this here for the slate, we got a lot of games to get to. I'm going to pick every game up until Monday night. We're not going to pick Monday night's game because we got the Monday schedule to get to, so no Monday night football. So I think I got 14 games on the slate here. I think I got 14 to get to. In terms of the predictions, so without further ado, we'll see how it goes. hopefully somebody's keeping track back there in terms of the picks, if they can hear me or anything like that. But I know we're working on some technical stuff back there. So let's get to it. It is the Benatti Blitz. Week 1. It's here. And it's starting again tonight. Football. And we go down to Brazil, Kansas City, Los Angeles, the two teams that have matched up so many times in meaningful games. I saw something where it said these two matchups, including Mahomes versus Herbert, 6 or 7 times it's gone to overtime, but every single time it feels like the Chiefs has won in those moments. It is a big time matchup down there. Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite over the LA Chargers. Chargers having a struggle right now with their offensive line. The Chiefs have good players on their defensive line that could cause issues. Going to be an interesting one tonight. Can the Chargers find their established run game in terms of with the Najee Harris attack and Omarion Hampton? Kansas City got a lot of different pieces as well, but Xavier Worthy with a little momentum coming out of that Super Bowl could make some big time plays on some guys who maybe have a tough time covering him tonight. I am picking against the team that always seems to win these kind of games, and the Kansas City Chiefs don't feel like they're stopping now. I'm picking Kansas City tonight in a win in Brazil over the Los Angeles Chargers. Next up, Tampa and Atlanta in A-Town. The Bucs poised to have a really good season. Like I said, they seem really like a shoe-in, maybe the easiest bet to win the NFC South. I don't see any other direction it could go, right? Well, this is one of those games that it could go in that wrong direction. Remember, Tampa was not good inside the division last year. They won so many games outside of the division to get themselves into a position to make the playoffs. Took my last week win to make it happen. Tampa is a 1.5-point favorite on the road. Home dogs, I heard this stat. Home dogs very good inside divisional matchups. Could be one of those weird Atlanta wins. I'll take it. I'm picking the Falcons to win over Tampa. I'm not going to wave the crazy flag just yet on Tampa. I think they'll bounce back later in the season, but this feels like a weird Atlanta win, and then I'm going to count it. Next up, Cincy and Cleveland in Cleveland, Ohio. Bengals 5.5-point favorites, but remember when everybody thought the Bengals were going to win week one the last four seasons, it feels like, because of what they had, including last week or last year against my team, the Patriots, and somehow New England found a way to win. Cincinnati has every right to win this game, and they should, because Cleveland is putting out a JV team. But Myles Garrett is a guy, and the Bengals, maybe they're not the most formidable offensive line. Be careful. Cincinnati could make any offense look competent with their what they're trekking out there. But man, Joe Flacco stands like a statue in that pocket at 40 years old, and do I really trust him to win a game out there? He's one of the few 40-year-olds still out there slinging it in the quarterback position. This will be tight. This will be close. It'll feel dangerously close. Cleveland will cover, but I do think the Bengals can get the win, and I think it'd be by a field goal. Next up, Miami and Indianapolis in Indianapolis. Colts coming into this game with Danny Dimes. Man, what kind of confidence can I feel going with Danny Dimes into this one? The Dolphins certainly feel like a disaster waiting. Nobody has faith in them. Nobody knows what to believe and what they got, but I do believe they have talented players. Indy, a 1.5-point favorite. I can't get past the idea that Indy doesn't have as much talent as the Miami Dolphins do have. It will be a disaster for both of these teams this season, but I think Miami will find a way to win on the road, and I am sensing that in this game. Miami always hot at the start of these seasons with Coach McDaniel. I don't see where it stops now. Give me Miami to give the false hope and the fool's gold to their fans, and they beat Indianapolis. Next up, the Raiders and the Patriots in New England. Patriots dealing with a couple of injuries in their rookie and slash pro class here. Christian Gonzalez already ruled out in this game. What are the wide receivers going to do for Las Vegas? Hopefully they don't retire. We'll see. New England, 2.5-point favorites at home. Should be an interesting game. What I think will be the key matchup is seeing what Ashton Jeanty can do in game one. Should be an interesting one with what his formidable foe will be in the front seven. I think the Patriots will showcase that. Mike Vrabel will have those guys moving. Despite all the injuries, I do think the Patriots can still pull this game out, but I want to see if the Raiders can prove me wrong and show what kind of competence they can have as a football team. Big opening step here for the Raiders, but give me the Patriots to win by three. Next up, Arizona and New Orleans and the Big Easy. Who's starting for the Saints? I have no idea. Arizona, 6.5-point favorites on the road. I will never believe that line in terms of taking it for Arizona. I like Arizona straight up in this game. I'm not going to dilly-dally around it. Saints are going to be one of the worst football teams we have seen in quite some time. I'm seeing opening week one tickets as low as $25 in New Orleans for a home opener for the Saints. That's how bad it is. Give me the Cardinals on the road to beat the New Orleans Saints. Next up, Pittsburgh, New York, the Jets, the Steelers in a revenge game that nobody wanted. Really? We're going to see Rodgers go up against his old team. Justin Fields against his old team. What kind of juice does that provide? I'm telling you, it's sour. That's what it tastes like. I don't care. I said this was the worst game of the week, and I'm going to stand by it. Steelers, a 2.5-point favorite. I shrug at what happened in this game. I don't know what will happen in this game. Anything can happen in this game. Rodgers could tear his Achilles again in this game. I have no idea. I'm going to shrug and say Pittsburgh because they at least have some sort of confidence on their defensive side. I believe in Pittsburgh's defense, so sure, give me the Steelers. Next up, the Giants and the Commanders in Washington. New York, the best defensive line in football?
and nothing really else going for him. Maybe we'll see. Malik Nabers has been on the tricky little injury report side of things. He's dinged up a little bit. We'll see if he can play. Washington, 6.5-point favorites. I don't like it. I think Washington has some issues in the front seven in terms of that, in the front offensive line. I think Washington could have some issues in moving the ball because of that situation. Jaden Daniels can be under duress in this game, and we'll see what he looks like in that. Year two, defenses have a whole offseason to figure you out. I wonder what the Giants have with that kind of prep. Give me the Giants in an upset over the Washington Commanders. Next up, Carolina, Jacksonville. We got a cat fight to round out the 10 a.m. slate in Jacksonville, Florida. The Jaguars, 3.5-point favorites in this game. The Panthers coming in with a little bit of hype. Jaguars coming in with a little bit of hype. Very curious to see what Travis Hunter will look like, what his production could be on both sides of the ball. How many snaps are we going to see of him? Panthers, man, this offense could be fun, but man, that defense could get into a lot of trouble. We could see a really high-scoring game in this one potentially, and I think I would have a lot of fun watching it. I don't think there's an issue with paying attention to this game. I said both of these teams could be a playoff team. I think for the right step in the right direction to start, I would give Jacksonville the slight edge, and that's what I'm going to do. Jacksonville over Carolina. Next up to the afternoon slate, Tennessee and Denver in Mile High. Cam Ward, this is a tough, tough assignment to begin your rookie campaign. But if he is a guy who can make things happen in the pros, like the Tennessee Titan fans believe he will, then maybe this is a possible choice for him in terms of getting his first win. But Denver's defense, man, one of the best in the National Football League. I don't think people talk about it enough. And then Denver on the flip side. Bo Nix had it figured out last year. Can he recapture that magic? Sean Payton's coaching pedigree tells me yes. And I think Denver is going to be one of those teams to beat. 8.5 the line. I'm taking that, and I'm taking the over, and I'm taking Denver to win outright on their home opener. San Francisco and Seattle next up. Is Christian McCaffrey going to play? Just got report that he's out of practice on a Friday. Oh, man. Time's ticking for this Niners team to find some guys who can play. We'll see what kind of production he can provide on Sunday if he is going to get out of that questionable distinguishment. And that is a different kind of level of issues for this 49ers team if he can't play. But San Francisco can also rush. And Seattle has an issue sometimes with defending the rush. And we'll see what kind of effectiveness Seattle can have in the passing game. I think it's there. They don't run into the ghost that Sam Darnold could be seeing in this game. Low-scoring game. San Francisco favored by 1.5. I would not go with that. I think Seattle wins by a field goal. Next up, three games to go. Detroit and Green Bay in Lambeau Field. Micah Parsons, potential debut. Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson's back. I can't wait to see these two pass rushers go at it, taking turns on the football field. Both of these offenses can be effective, could be effective. Green Bay, got to have some guys that actually step up and play some awesome wide receiver. They are not getting any help in terms of that, and I hope they can find it. Super Bowl contention, key in both of these teams' seasons. Both of these teams primed to look at the NFC North and say, this is our division. I picked Green Bay to make the Super Bowl, so why not pick Green Bay to win this game over Detroit in game one? Next up, Houston, Los Angeles, the Rams hosting the Texans. I stated it yesterday. Los Angeles, a major mismatch when it comes to their defense against Houston's offense. Not a lot of time for this Rams team to be on the field, I think. They're going to be pressuring CJ Stroud a whole lot tomorrow. Excuse me, Sunday. Nick Chubb, are we going to see what he really can kind of provide for the Houston Texans? I think that'll be an issue. The matchup to look out for is the Rams passing game against the Texans passing defense. That is the premier matchup of the afternoon. Can't wait to see it. I believe in the Rams. I believe in McVay. I believe in the mismatches. The Rams are going to win it, and they're going to cover over that 3.5. And finally, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills on a Sunday night. In a battle between the Buffalo stalwart, which is Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson, MVP. Two former MVPs in this opportunity to see who really deserves it this year, potentially. Baltimore, a 1.5-point favorite on the road, feels generous. Baltimore's been my number one team all offseason.
I am not going to sway from them now. I feel like Baltimore is the team that is arriving this year. Give me the Baltimore Ravens on the road against Buffalo in a win in Buffalo on week one. And there is your Benatti Blitz. Boy, I'm tired. How are you doing back there?
Should be good now.
Yeah. Whew. That was a lot of talking.
That was a long Benatti Blitz.
Were you... I know you were... I was just so worried about you guys back there.
Now we're good.
We're good?
Yeah, we should be good now.
Is there anything you want to catch up on in terms of what we got? Is there...
No, just audio stuff. Audio problems with the mics and headsets.
No, I'm saying in terms of the content of the show. Yeah, I appreciate you forking on the behind the
scenes. No, I don't think the Niners are going to lose, but whatever.
Even without McCaffrey. Are you as confident as he is, Chloe?
I did my research. Yes, I am.
You did your research. Yeah. Mm. I did my research, too. And I'm less confident.
Yeah.
But
you weren't confident to begin with.
Yeah, that's fair. And I got less confident, according to my research. I crunched the numbers. I ran it through the simulations.
Yeah, I don't think your Pats are going to beat the Raiders either. But yeah,
are you just saying that because you're lashing out?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm doing.
That's fair. Any other crazy? I picked Atlanta. I picked Cincy. I'm trying to think of other crazy. I picked Miami this week. Is there any other weird ones?
I think those could go. Those feel like they could win them. That could happen.
I picked the Giants over the Commanders this week.
That's far-fetched.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have. If they have their quarterback there,
They don't need the quarterback there. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be running for his life a little bit in that football game.
I doubt that.
I think the Giants' defensive line is the best defensive line in football.
Right now?
Yeah.
With what you saw yesterday.
Last night? Who had a better line last night? The Eagles.
Exactly. Is the Giants better than any of those two?
Yeah.
Because those two are in their conference.
Yeah. I'm not saying they're better than those two teams. I'm saying their defensive line. The Giants' defensive line is better than the Eagles' defensive line. I'm going to put that on a stamp and I'm going to mail it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're dying on that.
At least we'll see. The Giants' defense line aren't spitting on guys. You know?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Can we finally – we've been waiting 40 minutes for this. Can we finally get Chloe's thoughts on last night's game? Do we have the mic ability to get that?
My very few minutes that I saw and my footage on TikTok.
Yes.
Again, I go back to the – it's dramatic. I feel like neither one of the teams should have put themselves in that place. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to step up. You don't have to initiate anything. And then you don't have to react if anything is initiated. But everything else I saw, I mean, both teams look strong. It was a good way to start the season.
I know we're going to be busy at Friday Night Lights. Jorge might get like a second screen here to watch Chargers Chiefs tonight on the YouTube side of things. I don't know if you can get it on our TV.
It's on YouTube.
YouTube? Yeah, not YouTube TV.
No, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, okay. That's
regular
true.
YouTube.
That's true. So, Derek Carr, I think, making his TV debut tonight.
Is that what is it?
He's one of the studio guys, like the halftime studio guys.
Okay, that's
so
good.
I think that'll be interesting for people to be.
So you're going from Bakersfield to L.A.?
I have no idea where the studio is. I don't even know who's like syndicating the game. Like I do we even know?
It's NFL Network.
Is it NFL Network?
Yeah, because
is it Eisen?
Yeah, Eisen and Warner.
Oh, Kurt Warner's in it.
Yeah. So they're going to be in – they're actually – there are right
are
now.
Are they in Brazil right now?
In Brazil, yeah.
And then Kurt Warner going to fly overnight to Portland, Oregon? And
I doubt that. I think his wife is going to be
his wife's going to be at Corvallis. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I was just trying to follow the breadcrumbs there a little bit.
I mean, he could. I mean, he's got the money to do it. But
he could. He certainly could. All right, that was the Benatti Blitz, brought to you by Grocery Outlet, by the way. Grocery Outlet, go get tailgate ready. Once again, stop by the locations and enter to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Fresno State home game, as well as $100 to your tailgate. Be sure to visit the locations at Northwest, Downtown, Southeast, Fresno locations, as well as Kerman and Sanger for your grocery outlet contest. Get tailgate ready today with them and ESPN Fresno. All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap up hour number one. Coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Let's talk some Fresno State here. Let's do a little quick predictions for the Mountain West slate as well, because I think this is an interesting week for the Mountain West. And we'll start with Fresno State, of course. I think Fresno State, there's some problems with Oregon State. There's some things coming out I've been seeing and reading, and I get more relieved as a fan potentially about what this potential matchup could present. I don't know if you saw the news about one of their players, allegedly. They got getting arrested.
Allegedly.
For a dispute, alleged dispute. So trouble in paradise or trouble in Corvallis right now for this Oregon State program, and that's not ideal for anybody.
They seem a little bit distracted on a lot of things that happen off the field. So maybe it's a good thing for Fresno State. I don't know.
We'll see. Well, you got to take advantage of whatever is presented in front of you. Right now, the Bulldogs have an opportunity. Don't blow it. And 2.5-point spread for the Oregon State Beavers. We'll call this your daily spread segment, brought to you by Chichansey Gold Gold Resort and Casino. Of course, Chichansey, be sure to bet, play, and hooray. You can earn 1,000 base points in slots and enjoy a free buffet at the California Market Buffet. If you play every Monday through the end of the month, earn an additional 1,000 points to take home a second buffet voucher. Only a casino, Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. Spread 2.5 for Oregon State. I'm telling you, man, Fresno State, the more I feel about and think about this game, it feels like a win outright. It should be a win outright. Oregon State's got some problems. They got to fix them, or I don't know if I'm hearing the coach Bray is already on the hot seat potentially if things really don't turn in a different direction. Could be one of those disaster Oregon State seasons from what I'm hearing. But I'm cautiously optimistic about this game tomorrow, the more I've been reading about some stuff. So I'm going to go Bulldogs by 7 tomorrow, 23-16, in a low-scoring affair.
Who did Oregon State play last week?
It Cal.
Cal, right? And
they lost double digits, and it should have been by more. It was a garbage touchdown that ended it.
Cal lost it? Or
Cal beat him.
Cal beat him, right?
Oh, yeah, Cal beat him handily.
It just feels like the whole team is not there yet. Like
they're
compared to other years, they're not at 100%, and it just feels like there's other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it right away. You see when you hear it on the news, and you see it on the field too. I think Fresno State is gonna win them too. Is gonna be two win, on Saturday.
Do you think double digits? I almost feel like double digits now.
I don't want to be that optimistic.
Cautiously, we're all gonna be cautious optimistic.
Yeah,
but the tea leaves say they should win.
Everything in there says that if the Bulldogs play like they did the second half, this weekend, I feel like it's gonna be a good game for them.
Clay, any thoughts on this Bulldog game against Oregon State? We feeling.
I'm gonna go Fresno, but also low, very low.
Low? Like, what do you mean?
Low score. Maybe I'll give it 24-10.
Wow! All right, I'd take that. That's double digits.
I feel like there's gonna be more touchdowns. I just feel like it's not gonna be.
You think a coming out party for the defense or a coming out party for the offense?
I think defense had a coming out party last week. But
I think the run game had a coming out party last week. So
yeah, a couple running game, running touchdowns.
EJ got to get his first passing touchdown tomorrow. That's where I'm at. EJ's got to get his first. I want his first tomorrow. That has to happen. So that's what I'm predicting.
Yeah, I think that could happen. It's possible. Very possible.
Let's run through the Mountain West slate real quick. Coming up this weekend, Boise is playing tonight against Eastern Washington. They're a 31.5-point favorite. I'd take that. I think Boise will bounce back big on the blue.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think
Eastern Washington is going to give them trouble?
No, I don't think they're going to give them trouble, but I don't think it's going to be yes. Well, what is it,
31.5.
That's insane.
Okay. All right. Anything close?
15 at the most.
Boise? Boise's wearing orange helmets, blue jerseys, and orange pants. Yeah. I don't know. I think they always should wear blue with the blue. Anyways. You're with Boise, I'm assuming?
No, I'm actually going to East Washington.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be Christmas? We'll take it. San Jose at Texas, 36.5. I think San Jose State covers. I think they lose by 35. I like it.
No.
Hey, I called Nevada covering over Penn State. That was a 43.5.
Penn State's overrated.
Oh, all right. I think Texas doesn't cover against San Jose State. That's where I'm at.
Oh, they're covering. Yeah, as much as I hate them, they're covering.
They're winning by 40. You hate San Jose State, though. I know that, Jorge. You think San Jose
State?
Who
do I hate more? San Jose State.
That's an asteroid game if I ever heard one for Jorge. Let an asteroid hit that stadium. Chloe, could San Jose State avoid losing by 36 points tomorrow?
Let it be known this is the only time I'm not favoring San Jose State.
Okay.
I mean, just looking at Texas, they're a huge team. Yeah. And I think we are strong, but it's still really early in the season.
All right. All right. Utah State and Texas A&M tomorrow as well. I think A&M wins that pretty handily. Utah State didn't really show me much. New Mexico, really good win, or really good game against Michigan last week. I think New Mexico is going to play very well against Idaho State. Idaho State, by the way, gave UNLV some trouble. So if you want to see comparison of opponents in this one, see how New Mexico does in this one against Idaho State. Wyoming's got Northern Iowa. They hope to score more than 10 points than they did against Akron. Nevada's got Sac State. Should be a closer game than I think people realize. Colorado State's got Northern Colorado. I think that'll be a pretty handed win by Colorado State. UCLA hosting at UNLV. UCLA a 2.5-point favorite. I kind of like UNLV in this game. UCLA looked really bad against Utah. San Diego State's at Washington State. Who knows what happens there? I think San Diego State could get the win, but I'm kind of flipping a coin there. Hawaii and Sam Houston. I think Sam Houston could beat Hawaii on the islands as well. So there's your Mountain West roundup. All right, we got to take a break. Hour number two coming up next. Paul Metters coming on soon here on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN. Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of our show. Good to be here. 4:03 on the dot, which means we are getting closer to our Friday Night Lights presentation of another football game this week. Can't wait to bring it to you. Can't wait to have you listening here on the airwaves, and can't wait to bring that action to you. Of course, the man who's going to be with me in tonight's action is sitting across from me at this table, at this in this studio. Paul Metters is on the mic, and I think we got him connected here and everything. It's been a really buggy, weird show today with the technology, so hopefully everything's good. Paul, how are we doing?
Phil, what'd you say? Here at the buzzer, right? Yes. You hear the buzzer of me walking into the studio. You're like, Paul's here because I texted you. I was going to be 15 minutes late due to traffic. And just a pro tip for everybody out there.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't want to get into a wreck, you know, just stay a safe distance away from somebody, right? Geez. The closer you are to cars, the better chance you have of hitting them.
Yeah.
I saw 3 wrecks
on
the freeway. Off to the side, and thankfully, right? Didn't look, horrible.
Yeah.
Cars weren't flipped over, but they were just fender benders. It's like, come on, guys, let's go. Frustrating.
I will say, and I'm going to say this, just speaking to the universe, is this because you were boasting about your Herndon luck last week?
I did say on that, okay, so just for reference, right? On my way to La Monica Stadium last week, I boasted that from Fresno Street on Herndon eastbound, I hit 11 straight green lights.
Yeah.
I was in the zone. People were saying, you should just go straight to Chuck Chansey, another plug for Chuck Chansey, right?
Casino,
there you go. and then I did share the story on my show, and I'm like, hey, there's probably some schmuck that just hit 11 red lights in a row, right? Like the old karma thing, yin yang. So maybe it is karma that, you know, maybe I shouldn't be so cocky with
just let the universe
driving luck
give you what you provide, and then you just then it's all yin and yang. It's all back and forth in terms of it. But it's good to have you here, and you're on time. And we have you here at the top of the hour, 4 o'clock, which we'll have you for these Fridays throughout this season. And can't wait to talk about everything. Paul, first of all, exciting to have football back in every level now. Do you have any quick thoughts about Cowboys-Eagles last night? The Spitgate or the fighting or the lightning store, you know, everything. We had everything last night in the NFL.
There's no lack of content, no lack of story discussions. And I actually didn't watch the second half. I just had a bad feeling about the second. I'm a Cowboys fan, right? Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, haters out there for Cowboys. And I'm about done with that team, I'll be honest, right?
Yeah.
Just since the trade of Micah Parsons and just, I don't get it. But yeah, just the odds. My family's in the living room with mm-hmm. me, and we're watching the game. I'm like, there's some flags on the field. They're talking about spitting. What the heck's going on? And we just, right, we couldn't believe what's going on. And
crazy.
the lightning, and the Eagles player tearing his ACL on that kickoff is just, right, just horrible, right? It's just, but it made for good entertainment.
We had a crazy possible game winning play for the Cowboys that just fell just short, and it's kind of what it was. Hey, valiant effort from the Cowboys. They gave me more than I thought.
Well, how about this, right?
Yeah.
Make plays and you win the game.
Exactly.
It's fairly simple.
That's
at
true.
Every level.
That's true.
Even those peewee games are going to be played
exactly.
Saturday. Those 8U games, right? Make plays, win the game.
We'll see some plays tonight, I hope, in terms of seeing it lead to winning some football games. We got some good ones tonight on Friday night, but I want to recap a little bit of last night's action. I gave some scores over the air in terms of that. How about I wanted to point out a couple big results. St. Joe's over Hanford felt like kind of that game. It was just all St. Joe's throughout it. Hanford had a late touchdown, but after that, I mean, it was just all St. Joe's. And St. Joe's has had a kind of an up and down year so far, so it was an interesting score to look at in that game in Hanford last night.
My takeaway from that, I obviously haven't seen St. Joe's and probably won't this season, but they're scary,
mm-hmm.
right? I think the Valley teams need to take note. So week one, they lost to Tulare Union. Only 27-24. That game was at home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought, well, shoot, Tulare Union is going to score 50 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing St. Joe's defense is really good. So it says a little bit about Tulare Union, right? But I think it says a lot about St. Joe's, how they really outperformed Hanford last night.
Buchanan, 48-30 over Edison. The Tigers putting up 30 against Buchanan. Buchanan, the track team, it's hard to put points up against the track team. I know it was a little bit in the later portions of it, but Buchanan now moving into this territory of a good start to their season after a tough loss to Bakersfield. They get Liberty next week.
That's a Thursday game, too.
Yeah, it's a Thursday game. I think this is an interesting spot. Buchanan just kind of rolling and making, you know, in a business-like material and getting the last couple wins, especially that impressive win over Kennedy last week. So
they needed that win against Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't start off 0-2. You know, and, you know, Tigers not winning a game last year. Talk about Edison, the once-proud West Side school. So, you know, it's, you know, like you mentioned, Buchanan went up really early. Edison got some late touchdowns, probably against the twos on defense. But, mm-hmm. That's going to be a big test next week for Buchanan. It's a home game. It's September 11th. There's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance. A lot of people are going to show up to that football game. So that's, you know, if Buchanan can defeat Liberty, and we know what Clovis West did last week
to Liberty
of Bakersfield. So that would be a really good win for Buchanan.
And then a couple of teams that actually we're going to be calling their game next week played last night. Bullard 56-0 in the Battle of Barstow over Hoover. Bullard seems to be maybe getting back in track of their offensive output. They were struggling a little bit to start the year, but 56 against anybody, that'll do it. And then Bakersfield also dropping 50-plus over Stockdale last night. So these two teams are going to be coming off of wins and on a longer week when we get them next Friday. But how about those two teams getting wins, scoring 50-plus, and feeling good going into their next game?
So the reason why I left my house and the Cowboys-Eagles game was to go check out that Bullard and Hoover matchup, Battle of Barstow at McLean Stadium. when I got there, it was 10 minutes and 29 seconds in the second quarter, and it was 28 to nothing.
Yeah.
And there's a running clock in the fourth quarter. I mean, Bullard's got good athletes, right? Unfortunately, Hoover's just unmatched. I tweeted out the score, and you know, if people say, what happened to the once proud Hoover Patriots? It's just, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons for it, right? We could break it down. You know, old houses, not a lot of new houses in that territory. I actually live in the Hoover district, but you know, it's been a case where Bullard has just, he's had the upper hand, you know, for Fresno Unified in that area for a while. They just started that rematch last year. They're going to continue it, but it was a complete dominating performance from Bullard. Tyler Patrick, Franklin, sorry. Oh my gosh. I'm going to get fired for saying that. Tyler Franklin had 319 passing yards and four touchdowns. But yeah, it was just, it was kind of a bloodbath.
And then I think one last team that had a really just needed a win last night, Lemoore.
Yeah.
Beating El Diamante, because if you look at their next three ball, home Sanger at East, Clovis East at Tulare Union, that's a crazy stretch. So them getting a win over El Diamante, Lemoore really needed that one last night.
Yeah, they fully know. Talking about Lemoore Tigers, Coach Campbell's a great guy. They know what they're in for the next 3 weeks. It's no secret. They're going to have to play really good football to keep up with those guys.
So let's talk about tonight, right, in the high school slate. And we got some interesting ones, just taking a peek at it. Of course, we got our game tonight. Clovis West getting a nice victory on the road, obviously, in Bakersfield after coming up short against Edison of Huntington Beach. Now they get Edison of Stockton as they just go through all the Edison teams. I do think they get the Tigers, right, later this year as well. Edison of Stockton losing to Franklin last week. You got a chance to talk to the folks at Edison. What was your intel on them?
Oh, I talked to actually Coach Brown.
Okay.
I talked to Coach Brown.
Oh, sorry,
From Clovis West.
From Clovis West about Edison, yeah.
Yes, correct. About keys to the game, what do they got to do, what do we got to look for as broadcasting the game. So, you know, they got a decent quarterback. He likes to roll out. They got a really good wide receiver that's an athlete. Their D-line is actually decent. Talking about Edison of Stockton. So the offensive line for Clovis West is going to have to play really strong tonight. I think there you go. My bad. For Clovis West. So just contain that quarterback. That's one of the keys that Coach Brown talked about.
You're an in-demand guy, Paul. It's okay. But anyways, no, I think it'll be an interesting one, especially with, you know, the last time we had Clovis West on our airwaves, we had a legendary, crazy ending with what the mystique of J.J. Howard became what it was because of that game. And the hope is we maybe see a more complete, actual eye-opening performance maybe in what he's been progressing into. Not just a guy who has flashes, but a guy who is living up to the hype of what he is at just a sophomore in high school. And, you know, sometimes it's tough for guys like that, and I've heard, you know, he takes a lot of ownership of what he does, and he expects a lot out of himself. For just a sophomore, sometimes that's hard, and I wonder what that's going to look like for him moving forward, and I think tonight's game is going to be an interesting one to watch him and what he does.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I a lot of expectations for only a sophomore, right? Just jumped on the scene last year. You referenced that great game that we saw last year. Just kind of had a rough go in the track, right? We know how good the track is.
Yeah.
You know, especially as a 14-year-old freshman, a lot of people forget that he was 14 years old when the season started for him last year. So he's very young age-wise. He's not one of those holdbacks that you hear about a lot in athletics in high school now. So, you know, he had five touchdown throws against Liberty of Bakersfield last week on the road in a semi-hostile environment. And Trevor Horn came on my show last week. He's just one of the best down there in the Bakersfield area. And he was at that game. He was on the sidelines. And when he came on my show last week, he actually said, "Man, Paul, I got a proclamation. I'm just going to say this on air." He said, "J.J. Howard is the most complete package, awareness, everything for a young guy that I've seen since Cody Kessler."
Wow.
Right? Story career at USC. You know, started a lot of games in the NFL as well. So, Trevor Horn's seen, you know, Cody Kessler, you know, a lot of the, you know, Jordan Love. He even mentioned, better than Jordan Love at this point in high school. So again, right? That maybe some media stuff, right? Pumping the kid up. So he's going to be fun to watch. He can make every throw. We saw those clips this summer of him just putting on displays at these college camps that he went to. So we're going to get to see him, because I think that was our only game, wasn't it, that we broadcasted for Clovis West. Was that first game last year?
That first game last year, that was it.
Yeah.
And so we got him a couple times if the schedule holds, but we expect to have Clovis West a couple of times tonight. But this will be our one home game so far, at least scheduled, excuse me, with Clovis West. Let's look around the scores here a little bit. And, Paul, I'll let you pick the next one, because what's the next biggest game besides ours on the docket that you feel like has the biggest juice?
Well, when the schedule came out and the preseason rankings, which we could throw some of that stuff away, I had earmarked Clovis at Frontier, right? A lot of talk about Frontier. They got a bunch of transfers. A couple of D1 guys on the offensive end playing wide receiver. They had to replace their quarterback, but you know, they won a state championship in the lower of D3 level. A lot of people forget. So that was a game that a lot of people had circled. So here goes Frontier. They scored 2 touchdowns in 2 games, one in the first game, one in the second game. So, right. And we've seen with our own eyeballs what Clovis was able to do last week against Salinas.
If you can't score effectively against Clovis, you're going to have a real tough time.
Wasn't that defense for Clovis legit?
It's the best defense I've seen this year.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I agree. So it's going to be tough sled, man. If Frontier only scores 2 touchdowns in 2 games this year, what are they going to do against that Clovis defense that, to us at least, didn't seem like they had any weaknesses on the defensive side? So offensively, we know what Clovis can do as well with Deacon Rose at quarterback. I don't know the status of Maddox Merrill, who we were surprised we didn't know that he wasn't going to suit up last week. So we'll keep an eye on that.
I think there's an expectation he can be back this week, from what I've heard.
Good.
So
good.
I think he'll
probably just a precautionary thing in that game against Salinas. Who knows? Maybe Clovis does another 35-42-7 type game at Frontier. I think that would solidify Clovis as, being one of those top 2 juggernauts. And then I'm looking for a bounce back from Central.
Central East has Turlock tonight.
At home.
Turlock, good program, right?
Decent.
Turlock's got some juice to it. I think the expectation Central East can get this one, and the hope is that the letdown of Grant doesn't affect them moving into it. I don't know if you had some intel or did you hear anything from that Grant game why Central East wasn't out of the gates as sharp as they were?
Couple turnovers, untimely turnovers. I think there was a tip ball that was picked off by a linebacker. So they just put themselves in a big hole early, and they weren't able to recover.
So we'll see if they can bounce back. It's a little bit of those mistakes, and I thought Coach Biggs is the momentum to the end of the season. Usually Central East gets better along the way, and so at least it's happening now instead of in a couple months for the Central East Bengals. But I'm sure Coach Biggs would rather have it not be there at all. That'll be over at Collegian tonight. How about this one I'm going to throw at you here? How about Sanger and Clovis East tonight? The Timberwolves 2-0. Hasn't been pretty, but they've gotten the job done. Sanger, after that, I think they were a little shocked they lost to Hanford the way they did with how tough that game was against Hanford. Sanger looking to lick their chops. They're on a longer week, get an extra day of rest against this Clovis East squad. Certainly, I don't think it'll be as big of a blowout as we had last year when we were on the broadcast of that game, but I think this will be a fun one tonight out at La Monica.
It will. It will. And the trenches are going to be where this game is won, right? Gone is the spread offense that Clovis East has run in the past. Jamie Spurgeon, who you had on your show, was that already, 2 weeks ago, right?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago. That dude's a load. He is tough to take down, so that game, right, it's probably going to go really, really quick. I don't think we're going to see a lot of, a huge passing attack in that one. So that's one we're definitely going to keep an eye on tonight.
How about we talk Tulare Union, and I'm more interested in Tulare Union as the season's been going on. I think they've been the stock-up team for me the most, I think, in terms of what we've seen. 2-0 start. They beat St. Joe's, who St. Joe's has now proven is a tough team with what they've been doing. They go and put 60 on El Diamante. This Redwood team's a good test as well. Redwood's a good running team. Can Tulare Union have a very effective game tonight They got an outside little shot at what they could be doing in terms of the playoffs, and I think Tulare Union's a team to be reckoned with.
I expect a lot of points in that game. Over-under could be set at like 80, right? First one to 50 might get the win in that one. So, yeah, Tulare with their potent offense, Redwood, right? You know, they had that great game against Clovis North. They fell short. Good win for the Broncos. I think that game might come down to one of those, whoever has the last possession is going to win it.
Yeah.
But that turf, I feel, that turf at Tulare Union is something else, right? It's where Casimir Allen set the national record in touchdown rushes for a season. So, they're used to that turf. It's always tough for away teams to play there. So, I think Tulare Union is going to win, you know, by a couple touchdowns.
I'm trying to think if there's any other games out there that are Bakersfield Christian, CVC.
Ooh,
it's CVC.
Yeah,
tonight.
Yeah.
CVC in danger of going to 0-3 at the start of the year.
And they play Clovis North the following week.
They do.
So it doesn't get any easier for Cavaliers.
Not. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting one. I'll throw out a Dinuba Rick Kingsburg tonight. Did I steal it from you?
No. I mean, you know, I got a heart for Kingsburg. I got a heart for Dinuba, right?
Yeah.
That's my hometown. So, yeah, that's it's going to be an interesting game. CJ Lester for Dinuba is a great coach. They're a running program now. Kingsburg with their dudes. Again, they hung tough with Clovis East for a half, 10-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
The quarterback, unfortunately, went down. It was all East after that. So, yeah, I would point to Kingsburg winning that one. But I have a kind of a fun sleeper game.
I got one more for you. But
you know what? Why don't you say it? See if that's the one I was looking at.
What about in the Visalia area? Mission Oak 2-0, Golden West 2-0.
How about that?
That'll be a fun offensive little output game. Golden West going with the way they've been going.
That wasn't the game I'm thinking of. So, gives us a couple more games to talk about.
Yeah.
But Golden West, right? That offense, they return a lot of guys from last year.
Jaden Nehara.
Crazy stats. Do you have the stats in front of you? I know you had them up, but like.
I can do a box.
260 receiving yards for
260
their
for,
last week.
It was Isaac, I hope I get this name right, Osaguera.
Okay.
8 receptions, 263 touchdowns in last week's game when they beat Dinuba. 48-19. So Golden West is just going crazy right now.
I need to look a little more heavier at their schedule and evaluate them. But yeah, they're going to be rest of the year. That offense is going to be really tough to contain.
They beat Arroyo Grande week one. They have Mission Oak this week. They have North next week at North. And then in 2 weeks they host Tehachapi. And then they get into league play with Mount Whitney, Porterville, Redwood, Menachie. That could be like an 8, you know.
Yeah.
9-1, 8-2 kind of Golden West season. That'd be a really fun, interesting team when it comes to playoffs if they're going to go that way. What else you got? You want more?
Yeah, so this is one that pops to me, right? Justin Garza.
Yep.
And Kerman.
Okay. I mentioned this
That's
game.
That's going to be at Kerman.
That's right. What do you got on this one?
Yosef Ferris, great guy, coach of Justin Garza. He's had a couple epic games with Kerman in his career, and Kerman's come out on top of a couple of them. And Damon Jenkins, we know what he did at Kerman last year, winning the first football title in school history.
Yep.
They don't look like they're slowing down. They scored 53 points in their first game, 48 in the next game. This game's going to be different, right?
Exactly.
Yosef, he spent 3 weeks in the 49ers camp as a linebacker intern. He's got some great stories from his summer. I wish I could be at that game. There's like 5 games I wish I was going to tonight. But, that's one that definitely has my interest.
Should be really – wherever you're going, should be a good night of football, however you're going to enjoy it and wherever you're going to enjoy it. A couple little topics for you outside of it. And I wanted to get your opinion or if you wanted to speak on it. Saw the New Balance agreement
with Josh
Allen. And you see that I'll read the press release. It said, quote, and this is from Josh Allen, quote, "Together, we are making a commitment to Fireball to help fund its community sport program in the hopes of providing access to sports regardless of ability to pay to help young athletes access sports and chase their dreams." Seems like a really big initiative to grow Fireball as a community in terms of sports and athletics and what Josh Allen can provide. Awesome announcement. I'm curious to see where that will go, and I think this is a great initiative from the guy from Fireball.
And that's why we love Josh Allen, right? Central Valley, the Valley loves hard workers, right? Just boots on the ground type guys. We all know Josh's history with football, even though he didn't go to Fresno State, he wanted to, right?
I mean, I know.
He is the Valley's own. He just represents us so very well. And for him to wear the Fireball sweatshirt before that game and it turned into a viral thing where then you could buy Fireball sweatshirts online and all the profits went to Fireball football. We just love those guys, right? And he's, I think, forever cemented himself as an all-time great from the Central Valley already. And for him to give back and to still love his hometown and his roots is just fantastic.
Love to see it. Can't wait to see what yields from it, comes from it. It's like we got him. I know Bryson DeChambeau's investing into this area as well. I just love to see the Central Valley. And, of course, the Carr brothers are doing the car, doing their thing as well. By the way, Derek's on the broadcast right now, the pregame for this Chiefs-Charger game. So
Derek is?
Yeah, Derek's hanging around in the NFL Network studios. Not David, Derek, yeah.
He's in the studios?
Yeah, I'm seeing him right now. Yeah, they have him in a chair hanging out with Tyrann Mathieu, and I think it's Brandon Marshall as well.
That's so awesome.
They're yucking it up, so if you get an opportunity to check that out, that'll be cool too. Paul, excited. Of course, we got the broadcast tonight. Can't wait for it. Little tease for your show if people can't make it to the broadcast tonight. What do you got? What do you got tomorrow? You're wetting the palate before Fresno State football on Thursday.
I know, right?
You go right to noon, and then 12:30. I'm sure you're heading home and watching the game. Or
bring the equipment back here, drop them off, and I'm going straight home. So yeah, obviously we'll be breaking down these games. That's just so much fun. I feel like I don't even have enough time, Rand. I want to give everybody love out there. So, and then I got Coach Franklin from Bullard just coming on. With that big win over Hoover. Austin Kemp. Austin comes on at least twice a year during football. He is like the track expert, right? Yeah. He played in the track. He coached in the track. So he knows all the schools very, very well, knows the ins and outs of the football program. So it's always great to chop it up with him. We're going to talk about the games from the night before and preview some games as well. So, and then I got room for one more coach, right? So we'll see how things play out tonight, and then bring on another coach to talk about his game.
We'll look forward to it 10 a.m. tomorrow at First String Sports Live on 1430 ESPN. All right, Paul. We'll see you down at Veterans Memorial, 6:30. We were talking – I just want to make sure it's clear. We were saying 7 o'clock earlier this week, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff tonight.
Blue shirts, red shirts? You got your blue shirt on.
I think I'm going every other week for the most part. We'll see how it kind of – exchanges. So I'm going blue this week.
All right. So I'll come in at 4 o'clock. We'll do our thing, and I'll just look at what color shirt on.
I think that's the
indicator. That's the indicator.
That's the indicator.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, Paul. We'll see you there.
Absolutely.
All right. Paul Metters here in studio. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Paul Metters for joining me in the last segment. Paul Metters, of course, going to be on the broadcast with me tonight for a wonderful Friday Night Lights football game. Clovis West, Edison of Stockton. Can't wait to bring that to you. It's going to be the Eagles versus the Vikings. Yes, can't wait for that. And that'll be coming up 6:30. I want to stress this again. We had some graphics earlier this week that said 7. 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. Kickoff there. So that's what we got for you. And that'll be coming up soon. And actually, literally, less than 2 hours from now, we'll be live over there at Veterans Memorial Stadium. I'm paying attention to this Brazil pregame stuff. I'm getting like a whirlwind of like 14 different former athletes that are going on right now as far as this pregame is going and considering. So we got Cam Newton with Kay Adams right now, and then there's like Derek Carr with Tyrann Mathieu and all these different things. I don't know. We'll see how this YouTube game goes. Like I said, it's on YouTube tonight. It is not YouTube TV. It's not anything. It's YouTube, and it's free. So, and I guess you could watch the football game with like four different influencers. I'm a little, we'll see. We'll see how this goes in terms of that. But anyways, should be interesting. Let's get into games coming up Sunday. Are we getting you on the mic here, Sergio? Is that what we're going to do here? Is are we just debuting you here on this show right now?
Yeah, I'm getting my debut. It's a very familiar feeling.
Okay, welcome. Sergio's been hanging out with us the last couple of Fridays, and Jorge's taking the training wheels off. We're getting you on the air here.
Yep. Taking it right off. I've done stuff like this before.
Okay, so no big deal.
Yeah.
But just in more of the sense of what we're doing here, mm-hmm. you're just getting the vibe.
Yeah.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Excited to be here. How about you?
Excited to have you and Chloe over there, of course. Chloe, can you hear me? If you
I can hear you enough without a headset on.
I just got to speak louder. Is that what's going on? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know you're working on your sign language homework. I cannot sign language to you in some form or fashion.
You want to take the class with me?
I will fail in epic proportions. I am so bad at it. Foreign language, all of it. I was so horrible at the foreign language departments. I don't even know. I almost didn't get out of high school because I didn't do the foreign language. I forgot to do second year Spanish, and it was like my last senior year semester. And so I was taking classes with like my brother's age people. Like his friends, and like he would want to invite his friends over, and I'm like, no, I'm sorry, I got to do a Spanish project with them. I'm sorry, you can't hang out with your friends. I'm hanging out with your friends. So that was the weirdness in that sense. Also, the idea that everyone kept going to me for all of like the hey, what is this? What is this? I'm like, I don't know. I'm the same level as you guys. Just because I'm older doesn't make me smarter. So that was,
people seem to forget.
Yeah. So, anyways. That was my experience in foreign language in high school. Anyways, I'm a smart guy. I just can't figure it out in that department. What I can figure out is what could happen in this Patriots-Raiders game, and I want to talk about it here as we've been dissecting the other two games before us in the last two shows. We did the Niners on Wednesday. We talked about the Rams yesterday. Let's talk about this Raiders-Patriots game. Patriots are a little more banged up going into this one. No Christian Gonzalez. I think this changes the formula just a little bit for the Raiders in this game. Can they lean on the passing game a little bit more now that the cornerback number one is out for the Patriots? And potentially the Patriots could be without one of their top linemen, Will Campbell, who is their top pick in the draft this year. He is potentially questionable for a ankle injury. So Raiders pass rush could make a feast of what could be going on with this Patriots offense. I'm growing concerned about my Patriots in this game. Do Raider fans feel like they can lick their chops going into this game? That is the question I have. And I'm wondering if you guys feel the same. I feel like the Raider fans, with these couple of injuries for the Patriots, especially on both sides of the ball, there's a window here for this Raiders team to get a win in week one. I know, despite all of the craziness with Amari Cooper retiring, that was very strange, but feels like the Raiders are trending up in this game coming up on Sunday. How do you guys feel?
Yeah, I kind of had the Raiders winning regardless of who was playing
or not.
But I think the injuries make it more towards lean, you know, the needle more towards the Raiders more so than before.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that the Raiders were playing on the road until I just checked like half an hour ago. So that does change
East Coast trip.
Yeah, it changes things a little, but I don't know. I feel like the additions the Raiders made are going to, you know, move the needle towards them more because, you know, people seem to forget Geno Smith's a good quarterback.
He is.
I know Raiders don't really have receivers right now, but they've got Brock Bowers, and I think GT's gonna eat a little bit.
We'll see. The running back, I'm so flip of a coin on rookie running backs in their debuts of whether they're going to actually be effective or not. A lot of people have expectations with rookie running backs, like Bijan. He wasn't really a big-time guy. I think Saquon even struggled when he was a rookie, when he had his first couple of games before he broke it out a little bit. Sometimes getting that first game of contact and it just feels a little different, and the guys are not totally used to it right away. The gaps close a little bit quicker than in college in terms of the offensive line. You got to really be decisive when it comes to the running back position. I think Ashton Jeanty is such a big key to this game. But Chloe, what about you? What's your feel? What is your feel about this Raider Patriots game? Patriots struggling with a little couple of injuries.
I'm leaning towards the Raiders. I looked up the Patriots injury report, and it's just player after player on.
Yeah, I'm hurting.
Injury reserve and questionable and out. Like, it kept going. And so honestly, I have to respect the Raiders. Are they're a strong team. They are a strong team. So I feel like they do have this advantage. So it's just, you know, even with the rookies, like I don't think it's going to be that hard of a fight for them when you're looking at the Patriots and what they have in their rookies and everything.
The Raiders only have 5 active wide receivers, by the way. Just I'm looking at their depth chart. They only have 5 active guys. Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Deontay Thornton are your top 3. And then it's the rookie Jack Beck and Justin Shorter, who is a guy I've never heard of before. So that's it. And that's all they've got in terms of it. So heavier packages, 2 tight end packages, 2 running back situation. Mostert could be an interesting change of pace for the Raiders in this game. I think he is a key guy in the passing game. Maybe they line up Mostert in like a slot situation because he seems to be able to handle catching some footballs as well. So I think he's going to be interesting to watch for the Raiders in this game. So maybe we see just a different kind of setup in terms of it. But, you know, it all leans in how well they can protect Geno Smith as well if we're going to go passing in that game. But maybe it's Ashton Jeanty for 25, 30 carries, and maybe the Patriots can't make that happen. But I will say the Patriots front 7 has the injuries I talked about and the concerns. It's not there in terms of the run-stopping ability. It's in terms of the passing-stopping ability. So I like Justin Spillane, who is a former Raider who's going to be in the Patriots linebacking core. He could certainly cause some havoc in the middle of the field and filling those gaps against Dish Jeanty. But that's the key in this game. How well can the Raiders run the ball? Because it doesn't feel like they're going to be passing the ball 30 times this game. I would say it's going to be Geno dropping back maybe 20, 25 times per game. If the Raiders are going to be dropping back 40 times per this game, they are in trouble, and they are probably losing this game. And that's where I'm at.
I think if the Raiders can effectively run the ball with JT and let him spread his wings a little bit and, you know, get him some space, I feel like they won't have to rely on Geno as much as, you know, they might have to.
Out of all the things, the defensive side too and what they can provide in terms of the pressure they can put on this Patriots offense, the Patriots offense who boasts Stephon Diggs is one wide receiver, number one wide receiver, but he's coming off of an ACL injury, and what's the question mark there of what his age can be, and can he truly be a number one kind of guy? It didn't seem really like, feel like his market was totally a big one out there in terms of people going after wide receivers. Although I would say the Raiders really would have loved to have maybe a Stephon Diggs. That would have been pretty nice to have in their running back core or wide receiver core. But the secondary along with the linebacking core for this Raiders defense has a lot on its table in terms of where the Patriots can attack. Patriots, of course, have offensive weapons, especially in the tight end position with Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper, in terms of this team. So that'll be interesting as well. And by the way, it's the linebackers that have to do a lot against what the Patriots are going to be presenting in the running back position, which I think has 3 legit guys that are going to be problems for this Raiders defense. Ramondre Stevenson, Travion Henderson, even Antonio Gibson can provide some different opportunities for this Patriots offense as well. So maybe it is as simple as, can the Raiders stop the run? And can the Raiders run the ball? And that's as simple as an explanation of how the Raiders can win on Sunday. And maybe that's where we settle it.
I mean, that's just fundamental football right there.
Isn't that it, right?
Yeah, just run. Everything goes through the run game. So
is it that simple? Is it that simple for the Raiders? Just stop the run and run the ball? I got to imagine it is. So. Chloe, where do you think?
I have to agree. It's just fundamental football. It comes down to, like, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
And how well can you do it?
Oh, and by the way, the last time they made the playoffs, they had a really solid running back who made some things happen. Josh Jacobs, quite simply was one of the best running backs out there in terms of it. So we'll see how the Raiders can respond in week 1. I'm not saying it's a dire must-win opportunity. Going on the East Coast is always hard for this Raiders team. But it doesn't set themselves up somewhat easily down the stretch. Loss here, I think that's a scheduled loss per se, so the Raiders feel like that if they get a win, it's more of a plus. You get an extra day to prep for the LA Chargers, which will be a home game on Monday night. So I'm not putting it at the Raiders really have to win kind of territory, but a win would be pushing this Raiders team a long way if they want to make the playoffs this year. So that's simply where I'm at. Although I did pick the Patriots in my Benatti Blitz about an hour ago. So I'll stand by it. I don't know. Football's weird. I could really flip a coin in this game, to be honest with you. So, all right, we're going to take a break. But before we do that, I have to tell you about a wonderful thing that's going on here in the NFL, and that is DraftKings. That's right, DraftKings, week one of the NFL season. It's already started, and it's starting again in about a little less than an hour. Tell you about your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. You download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. You enter for free. You pick more or less on six player stats for week one. Talking about some picks that I had. Kind of like Mahomes on the over tonight in terms of that. We'll see how it all turns out. I also have Isaiah Pacheco. He only has 48.5 rushing yards. I like him more there. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get bonus shots to win. Hit all six picks and you'll be splitting a bag that's already at $1 million or more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free. Start stacking entries for week one NFL season. Zero cost, huge upside. A partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in Bag Builder contest. Only perfect entries can earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th and 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. On this final segment before we send it off to our evening broadcast of Friday Night Lights, 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff between Clovis West and Edison out of Stockton. Can't wait for that one. Let's give you a little bit of the weekend schedule here for you, what you can expect for this weekend. Then we'll get to what you're watching for this weekend. Forgot to write that down in the segment sheet. So I'm putting you guys on the spot of what you're watching for this week. All right. Tonight, A's and Angels going to be over at 790. That's a 6 p.m. pregame, 6:35 first pitch. Clovis West, like I said, Edison Stockton, 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. Kickoff. Tomorrow, Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. What a better way to start your morning and get yourself set for the Fresno State game to listen to Paul Metters talk about high school sports for 2 hours. 10 a.m. to noon, like I said, live from First String Sports on 1430 ESPN. A little bit later in the day, hey, those Giants are playing good baseball. We'll see if they can keep it rolling. Giants and Cardinals from St. Louis, 3:45 pregame with a 4:15 first pitch from St. Louis. Giants looking to keep the hot streak going. 2 of 3, at least, I think they're still in the hunt in terms of getting into the postseason. Over on 790, A's and Angels will be in a battle in Anaheim, 6 p.m. with a 6:35 first pitch. Over on the Sunday slate, here's how to work. In this morning side of things, over on 790, you'll have the Raiders and the Patriots from New England, 9:30 a.m. pregame with a 10:05 kickoff between the Raiders and the Patriots. On 790, following that game, as soon as the game wraps up, we will send you to SoFi Stadium. It is Rams and Texans in a battle down in SoFi. That'll start at around 1:25 p.m. Sunday, over on 1430, we have the Niners and the Seahawks, a pregame starting at 12:05 p.m., a 1:05 kickoff between the Niners and the Seahawks over on 1430. And following that Niners and Seahawks game, we will have the Ravens and the Bills in a battle in Buffalo. Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, 5 p.m. or whenever the Niners game ends, 5:15 kickoff from Buffalo. And then Monday, we'll be back. Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. My show going from 3 to 5 p.m. on Monday, reacting to all of the weekend reaction. I think I'm going to bring back an old segment I did last year. Who's been Audi? Who's been Ice? We'll bring that one back. Have some fun on that Monday. For we sent it out to Monday Night Football, Vikings and Bears in Chicago. It's a 5 p.m. pregame, 5:15 kickoff from Chicago. But, of course, what you got to do is go to me and Ed's Victory Grill on Monday because we got Major Wager back. Yes, that's right. You're thinking, what's Major Wager? What is that? It is an opportunity for you to go hang out with your friends, me and Ed's Victory Grill, watch Monday Night Football, and there's some stakes to it if you watch the game. That's right. We're going to have a bet card for you. You get your ESPN bucks, and you get to bet on the game and win some money. That's right. Win some opportunity or win some ESPN bucks, which then you can use in a silent auction weekly on our evening side. When we finish up Monday Night Football, we'll be having a little silent auction. Or you could just save the money you win and get to our big prize at the end of the year. Of course, some big prizes at the end of the year. And also, we do have a big giveaway associated with Major Wager. That's right, courtesy of Fresno Ag, a Traeger grill up for grabs. That's right, a Traeger grill up for grabs. All you got to do to enter and to win that one is to show up each week. Each week is an entry to win a Traeger grill at Major Wager. So be sure to swing by me and Ed's Victory Grill Monday night. We'll be there. Joe will be there. Carter will be there. And some other friends will be there as well. So be sure to swing on by and hang out and watch some Monday Night Football. Enjoy some good pizza as well. All right, what are we watching this weekend? I'm going to go around the horn here. What sports are we watching this weekend? Sergio, what do you got?
Tomorrow, Saturday, definitely watching that Fresno State game.
There you go.
I went to Cal Poly, so I'm going to watch Cal Poly get stomped by the University of Utah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are they at, you know, they got to be at Utah, right?
Yeah, they're at Utah. So yeah. Going to watch
Utah
that.
Look good.
And then I'm a huge Big Noon fan, so definitely watching that Iowa State game too.
Okay, locking in. That's a good Saturday.
Yep, and then Sunday, Niner game all the way.
Niner game. All right. That'll be on the local Fox, I think. Chloe, what are you watching this weekend?
We got San Jose State kicking off tomorrow at 9 a.m., so I will be watching that. And then we have Michigan and Oklahoma tomorrow, so I'm kind of interested in that game.
I like Oklahoma.
Then Sunday, we've already decided straight home from church, Niner game.
Yep.
Of course, I will be rooting against you.
I'm not being a bad person. I'm just speaking the truth.
And then we got to finish off Sunday with that Ravens and Buffalo Bills game.
Yeah, the Ravens-Bills game as well. I'll sneak in a little baseball here and there. I'm slightly curious about if the Giants are going to do anything special. So I may have like a tiniest little screen on some baseball this weekend.
I don't want them to give me any false hope. My heart's already been broken.
Yeah, they're
gotta pay a little bit of attention to my Cardinals.
It's teetering. It's teetering for everybody with like 20 games left to go. All right, guys, appreciate it. Great show. Thanks. Thanks so much for what you guys are doing. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thank of course. You.
All right, we'll be back on Monday, 3 o'clock. But tune in, coming up tonight, Friday Night Lights on 1430, 6:30 pregame. We'll see you there.